Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network. Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Welcome back. Áine Kerr here, sitting in for Brendan. Now, joining me are our film and TV enthusiasts. We just did wrestling, now on to movie and TV recommendations for the week ahead. I have Zara Hederman, freelance culture journalist, and Rory Cashin, entertainment and culture journalist. Rory, I'm very invested in this one in my house now. It is much anticipated, and that's Pixar's Inside Out 2. The first one was fabulous. Yep. It's a new voice cast. Does it live up to the original?
Well, it's some of the voice cast is still there. Like Amy Poehler's still there as Joy, and we still have a number of the supporting cast. That some of them have been swapped out, and then we have new additions like Ayo Edebiri, who people would know from The Bear and stuff. It is very, 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 very good.
Okay, great.
But it's not... It has the problem of being compared to the perfection of the first one. I think if Inside Out 1 didn't exist, people would be calling this one the new Pixar masterpiece. Like, it is really good, and it's so close to being as good. But I think just through the story of it, like, because the original is more about, like, a younger girl, and this one is bringing in all these new complex emotions of going into puberty and becoming a teenage girl. And because of that, it's just not as immediately fun and joyous and entertaining, but it is very smart. Again, just like the first one, I think the first one should be like mandatory viewing for every single child, because it's...
I think most parents will tell you it is.
Yeah, like, but it's such a clever way of like getting across certain ideas to kids in a very entertaining way. And I think this one, again, has that same message behind it. It is really good, and it will go down as one of the best films of the year, undoubtedly. But it has the problem being compared to the perfection of the first one.
But it's a go see it.
Absolutely.
Okay, good. A first thumbs up there. Zara, Dakota Johnson stars in Am I Okay? A queer coming of age drama about friendship. What's the verdict?
Yeah, I watched this on a Monday morning, so it's on Now TV, and it was a cool 83 minutes, so I was like, perfect, this is exactly what I need. I do love Dakota Johnson, even after Madam Web and how terrible that whole thing was, but I will always watch her and stuff, because The Lost Order she's brilliant in. This is actually a really, it's a really kind of welcoming film in a weird way to describe it as. Like, Dakota Johnson's character, Lucy, she's in her early 30s, she's working as a receptionist in a spa, but she is actually a painter, and she's kind of very much suppressing a lot of the things she wants to do in life. This was based on the screenplay by Lauren Pomerantz, who had the same experience of coming out later in life, and she was very much afraid of how that dynamic would maybe shift with her friends, and we get that in the film. Sonoya Mizunu, who plays Jane, her best friend in this, they have a very codependent friendship, and as Dakota Johnson's character is on this path of self-discovery, they kind of break apart, they come back together, and there is the happy ending. I actually did really like this. As I said, it's not really something you see on screen too much. Dakota Johnson doesn't really give a great performance here either, but there's just something about it that's a very warm watch, because as it's based on a real life experience, it's a nice thing to see represented on television. So yeah, it is a recommend.
Okay. Go watch it. Am I Okay with Dakota Johnson? Rory, you're going to bring us next to the Game of Thrones spin-off House of the Dragon series 2 is out this week. Do you need to have watched Game of Thrones? I'm one of those people who just never got to it.
You absolutely do not need to have seen all of the 8 seasons of Game of Thrones. This is set 200 years before the events of that show, so you can go in absolutely blind. You do need to have seen the first season of House of the Dragon, because this is the first episode of the second season that's going to be on Sky Atlantic and Now Entertainment tomorrow, on Monday. It is the way, even if you did see Game of Thrones and didn't necessarily fall in love with it the way the world did, this does have a bit of a twist of it. It's kind of more political intrigue, it's more kind of Machiavellian plotting, it's got some amazing performances in it, and it has dragons as a stand-in for nuclear bombs. So this is constant threat.
It's meaningless to me, but I will take your word that this is a very relevant part of the story.
No, okay. Like it's kind of it's like holds a mirror up to today, because you've got these two opposing forces, both of which have this world-ending power and are constantly threatening to use it. And you know, if they do, that's it. Like, it's game over for everyone involved. So it's just a matter of knowing that's coming. But all around that, there's some fantastic like chess moves between the personalities involved, and it's beautifully shot, and all the money's up on the screen. Yeah, if you like House of Dragons season one, this continues it on. If you haven't seen Game of Thrones, that's absolutely fine. You can go in blind for this one.
Okay, that's not your barrier. Sounds compelling. Zara, you're taking us to Presumed Innocent. It's a remake of the 1990 film that starred Harrison Ford. This time we have Jake Gyllenhaal taking up his role. I, in the interest of research, started watching this last night. So I've seen the first, I think, just two episodes and the third on the way.
Yeah, and this is excellent. Rory and I, we were talking beforehand how I really appreciated seeing this, even though I am getting a bit tired of all the remakes of 90s films. I did really appreciate the kind of throwback to the erotic 90s kind of courtroom drama, because it's not something we get too much. And I do think Jake Gyllenhaal is really good in the Rusty Savage, the Harrison Ford character. I also went into it not having seen the film, so I enjoyed as well how the first episode in particular, it sets us up so nicely. Like, within the first 5 minutes of it, we get, you know, Rusty Savage learns that his colleague, played by Renata Renz, who's in The Worst Person in the World, she has been murdered. We like, in the first 5 minutes as well, we see the crime scene. So we're immediately thrown into it. We get his family life, the work dynamic. Ruth Negga plays his wife as well. And
we've an Irish interest.
Yeah, and she's excellent. I would watch her in anything. And to see the two of them together, it was great. Peter Sarsgaard as well kind of plays Jake Gyllenhaal's rival counterpart in the courtroom. So there's that added drama as well in real life. Peter Sarsgaard and Jake Gyllenhaal are brother-in-laws. So by the end of it, I was gripped. And I'm really looking forward to see where this goes. It has David E. Kelly as well, is at the helm of this. He, of course, did Big Little Lies, Anatomy of a Scandal. He's a former attorney himself, so he's a bit of a master of this courtroom drama. So yeah, couldn't recommend this enough. It's excellent.
Yeah, and the third one episode on Apple TV is coming at us on June 19th. Rory, you're going now to Prime Video. This is The Boys. It's getting a fourth series. Will it be as good as the last, is it?
I think so. They've dropped the first three episodes of season four for you to watch all at once. It's very clever what they're doing. You can kind of binge the start of it, and then the rest we're going to get weekly. I think if you're a fan of the first three seasons, and it was announced this week that season five will be the last one. And
so we're in season four now, so exactly, this is the penultimate.
So we know there's an end point closer than anyone expected to be. So I think that's very, very clever, because then you know, at any moment, any of the big names could be gone, and it will happen so violently and so quickly. And everyone in their roles, Anthony Starr as Homelander is one of the books need to be written about how well he's been cast as the ultimate villain in this show. It's so refreshing, just the way people have maybe have gotten a little bit tired of superhero movies and TV shows, that this is the most explicit, most adult version of that. So again, if you like the first three seasons, this goes in all guns blazing, and it, so far so good.
Okay, that's The Boys on Prime Video. Zara, the Beatles. Beatles fans won't want to miss George Harrison. It's Living in the Material World, the 2011 Scorsese documentary, and this is on Sky Arts Sunday 16th, 9:15 p.m.
Yeah, so this is Martin Scorsese's documentary about George Harrison. Obviously, the title Living in the Material World, it comes from his 1973 solo album of the same title and his fourth after the Beatles. And it's a really fascinating documentary. I remember watching this when it came out, and it's 3.5 hours long, and all of it is going to be on Sky Arts tonight. It won't be split across two nights as it usually has been in the past when it's televised. It goes through his humanitarian work, of course. It goes through in depth his career in the Beatles, how that all came about, the dynamics within the band. It goes to the concert for Bangladesh. It also, which I found really interesting when I watched this, is how it explores his then role in film production. So he was involved in like getting Monty Python's Life of Brian off the ground with Nell and I as well, and just all these different kind of layers to him. And I just personally, George has always been my favourite Beatles, so I would watch 10 hours of anything to do with him, especially if it's Martin Scorsese directed. I came away from this documentary just so emotionally invested in him even more. Like, it is a beautiful, beautiful portrait of him, because he was just such a very special man, and that's in his music and in his work. And this was also co-produced with his widow, Olivia Harrison, and it has contributions from their son, Danny Harrison. So, okay. Highly recommend.
Great. George Harrison, Living in the Material World. So that's Sky Arts. We're going back to Netflix, Rory, and the story of a giant shark arrives in the Seine and starts terrorising the locals. It's under Paris, silly but fun.
Yeah, it's a trashy movie about a shark in a river, just as there's a triathlon about to take place, and the mayor will not cancel the triathlon, no matter how big the shark is in the river that is guaranteed to eat every single athlete that's about to jump into the water. It's so much fun. It really, really knows what kind of movie it is. It's exactly the kind of turn your brain off. There's just entertainment out the wazoo. It's one of the most fun movies I've seen this year so far. So if you are looking for something completely unserious, and that's not to say it's a comedy, because it is still trying to be Jaws, it just happens to be in the Seine. So if you are looking for something that's just very entertaining, highly recommend.
Very good. Okay, and finally and briefly, Zara Queenie.
Yep, this is on the Channel 4 player. So it's based on Candace Carty Williams' 2019 debut novel, Queenie, for which she became the first black woman to win the Book of the Year award at the British Book Awards. She herself as well described this as the Black Bridget Jones. So basically we follow Queenie, who's 25. She's a British Jamaican woman living in London, and she's having a terrible couple of months. She's gone through a breakup. She's had a miscarriage. Work is just not very fulfilling. And Dionne Brown plays Queenie, and it's 8 episodes long. They're about 20 minutes long each. And I sat down to watch maybe one or two, and I had 6 done in the space of like 2 hours or so. Dionne Brown, excellent.
Okay, that's a recommendation as well there on Queenie, 8 episodes on the Channel 4 player. My thanks to Zara Hederman, freelance culture journalist, and Rory Cashin, entertainment and culture journalist. We've had a lovely reaction to the David Putman interview just earlier, and texters saying he's so clear and precise but with emotion. Another saying he's so inspiring, I couldn't agree more with his values and principles. We would do well to heed his words. In my humble opinion, he's a hero and a legend. That's from Anne. And another says David Putman is 100% right on our leaving cert. I'm a teacher, and the students, whether you like it or not, are disengaged. I hope the Department of Education and the Minister are listening. And that's from Anna. And that is all we have time for today. You can listen back to all of our conversations from today's show on the RTE Radio app. Today's show was produced by Alan Chorney. Research was by Owen Cody. Stephen Higgins was the broadcast coordinator, and Dave Gibson was on sound. Stay tuned for This Week with Angus Cox and Mary Regan. To finish today, let's take another moment for our incredible athletics champs and celebrate them, and give a little nod to our earlier guest, David Putman. He, of course, won an Oscar for his 1981 film with a score composed by Vangelis, and this is from Chariots of Fire.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.